For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. My guest today is Christopher Boucher, author of the widely praised novels Golden Delicious and How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive. Boucher teaches literature and writing at Boston College and is editor of the literary magazine Post Road. He's in Spokane as part of Eastern Washington University's Visiting Writers Series. Christopher Boucher, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
So I want to talk about your most recent book, Big Giant Floating Head. It's a series of short chapters about a character who is also named Christopher Boucher. And he's caught in this sort of circular story of his life falling apart and being put back together in strange and often hilarious ways. And so I want to talk first about the choice to name your fictional character after yourself.
Well, I should say that I didn't start this book planning for it to be, A, all one character. I was, I was envisioning these, and actually some of them were published as individual stories. I had this wonderful writing group in Boston. It's just three of us, two writers whose work I just really love. We met, and they had one note, and the note was, hey, this is really working, but it's all one character. And so I was at this crossroads. Is it all Christopher Boucher, or is it somebody else, entirely? And it presents this truth, non-truth, because, while there might be a lot of emotional truths in this book, the actual facts and the actual plots are all invented.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked that position that it put me in of thinking, this is scary and I've never seen this done before. Let's try it.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the language and the stories of this book. So just to set this up a little bit, Christopher Boucher lives in the small town of Coolidge, Massachusetts, and the rules seem to change a lot on hapless Christopher Boucher. So
sadly, they do. So this is one of the shorter chapters in the book. It appears sort of earlier on. I think it exemplifies exactly what you're talking about, which is to say it's got its own rules. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges is to somehow, build the walls and then have the scene in the room in, 2-3 minutes. So this is called Slippery. Once everything became slippery. Suddenly I couldn't hold my wife's hand, couldn't grasp the chess pieces when we played. I couldn't tie my shoes, couldn't grip the handle of my office door at work. The entire world turned wet and slick. At first it was a physical slipping, then a mental one as well. I forgot my wife's birthday. I was suspended from work at the Department of Fiction for 2 weeks, and I had no idea why. I came home from the supermarket, and my wife had a duffel bag packed. "Screw you," she said, and she brushed past me, closed herself into her Honda, and pulled out of the driveway. I ran after her. "Liz, what? Liz! Liz!" I went to the doctor, and he took the top of my head off and looked around. "Hmm," he said. "Hmm, what?" I said. His pliers felt cold inside my mind. "Well," he said, "I can adjust the wire that controls your relationship to the external." "Okay," I said. "There's a but," he said. "Okay," I said. "The but is," he said, "your mind may overcompensate." "Meaning what?" I said. "Meaning," he said, "that you might have the opposite problem." I tried to deduce what he was saying without actually saying it. "That things won't be slippery enough," I said. "Exactly," he said, "that things will stick." Which is exactly what happened. I experienced one very good day, the best day of my life, maybe, during which I could hold the things I wanted to and let go of them when I was ready to. When I woke up the next morning, though, the bedsheet stuck to me. I didn't think too much of it, but then I tried to eat a piece of toast and it stuck to my chin. An old girlfriend called me and said she was coming over, and by 2 p.m. we were married. She clung to me as we walked toward the subway so we could catch a plane and begin our honeymoon. As we were crossing the street, though, a car screamed toward us. Its brakes squealed, but it slammed right into my rib. It was a Honda, Liz's Honda. The car stuck to me. Inside it, Liz screamed, "Honey, let go of that woman!" I called the doctor and told him I needed to see him immediately. I arrived at his office with a piece of toast stuck to my face, my arm around my new wife, my old wife's Honda attached to my abdomen. It was a struggle to fit into the examination room. The doctor came in with his chart. He wrote down the make and model of the car. Then he interviewed Liz and took my new wife's name. "Hmm," he said. "Hmm, what?" I said. "Hmm, as in, I think your brain is overcompensating. My diagnosis is, things are now sticking to you." "I agree with your diagnosis," I told him. "So what now? Well, he said, you may have to choose. I asked him, why can't you just scale it back a smidge? That's what I tried to do last time, he said. I can adjust it again, but I think you may have to choose which you'd prefer. Do you want your life to be too sticky or too slippery? I didn't really even have to think about it. Slippery, I said. Honey, no, both wives said in unison. Honeys, it has to be this way, I told them. I'd rather be nothing in this world than go through it attaching myself to everything. I turned back to the doctor. Do it, I said. Change me back. The doctor opened my head and made the adjustment. It only took 5 minutes. As soon as he'd finished, the car dislodged itself from me and the new wife divorced me. Liz gave me the finger, pulled a U-turn, and sped the Honda out of the doctor's office. The piece of toast fell off my face and onto the floor of the office. I tried to pick it up, but I could not. It was too slippery. The doctor took pity on me, picked up the toast, and held it for me. I was so hungry. I felt like I hadn't eaten in months. Go ahead, he said. Eat. He held the toast to my lips. I took a bite from it. Thank you, I said. Hey, he said. That's what I'm here for.
That was my guest, Christopher Boucher, reading from his novel, Big Giant Floating Head. You said that this started as a collection of short stories, and most of the chapters work pretty discreetly as stories, like that one does. And the premise or setup for many of the chapters is sometimes outlandish and humorous, like that one. But there's real emotion and sadness and empathy within these characters. And I'm wondering if you can talk about the balance between being humorous and being outlandish and getting sort of real emotional weight into these characters.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad to hear you say that. I will say that I never sit down to write trying to be funny, you know, because I never thought of myself as a funny person. I don't even really think of myself as a funny writer. But I often sit down writing from a point of sort of, if not sadness, then some sort of emotional gravity. I'm also really intrigued by innovation. And that's a risk, I think, for me, because while it's innovation that sometimes gets me to the desk, innovation for innovation's sake seems circuitous. It doesn't really seem to get the job done. And I think it essentially is sort of empty. I do think, though, that there was a lot of sadness or sorrow that drove this book. And sometimes, I think as a lot of stand-up comedians will tell you, sorrow drives really funny, absurd, outlandish premises.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we have time for one more question, which I like to ask all of the EWU visiting writers, which is, as a visiting writer, you have one workshop with these students. What are you trying to bring to that workshop that might be different from other teachers that they've had? Or what's the unique perspective or wisdom that you're hoping to bring to students?
Well, that's a great question. Well, so I've read some of their work. So we're going in with a specific job. Job number one is to respond to the stories that I've read and help them hopefully move those stories to the next step. I would say, though, I have a huge respect for the process of writing. I was told in college by my thesis advisor, if you miss one writing day, you miss two. And I took that literally. And so, you know, I always tell writers that I work with at Boston College or elsewhere, the one thing we can control is our relationship to the craft. You know, the one thing we can control is when we sit down, when we show up, when we just sort of make space for an idea, even if it's a talking Volkswagen or, you know, a world in which everything is slippery. So if there's time, I would definitely like to talk to writers about their relationship to process. Because to me, that's the thing that brings me back to the page every day is on even the worst days, you start with nothing, you end with something. I think that's magic.
Well, my guest has been Christopher Boucher, author of the novel Big Giant Floating Head, among other books. He's in Spokane as a visiting writer in EWU's MFA in Creative Writing program. Christopher, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.